Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome back to Coaching Conversations. This is your life coach and host, Shawn Chakowski, and I'm here with Moni Visco. Hi, Moni.
Hi, how are you?
Awesome. Moni is a divorce relationship coach, and we are both found on the West York Life Coaching Center site. So I'll give you that email, website, which is wnylifecoaching.com. So today we are going to be talking about negative self-talk, and I like to call it trash talk. I know a lot of people out there have a tendency to do it, and many times that talk can stop us in our tracks to doing a lot of things that we are passionate about or want to pursue or want to do in our life. And there has also been studies indicating that negative self-talk has been associated with higher stress levels and even depression. So it's a great topic to explore, not only for well-being, but to help people kind of live a life that they would love to live. We're going to give some tools on how to quiet that talk. And Moni, I want to thank you because you did find an excellent article that kind of got us spinning on this topic, which is called Negative Self-Talk, 9 Ways to Silence Your Inner Critic, and it's by Janice Dunn. Is that right? Yes, mm-hmm. Janice Dunn. So we will give her kudos because she inspired us to talk today about this topic. Would you like to share anything?
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, I think I just thought it was a relevant topic because a lot of people do this. They are their worst critic, and they don't know how to exercise self-compassion, and it's not that. It's like small, little, simple steps that you can do to shift that thinking, because it doesn't really serve a purpose. It doesn't benefit you in any way.
Right. And this goes from, Moni and I, we have a Get Real program that we're launching, and we're going to be teaching children, and even meditation with teens, we're going to talk about it, from, children to adults. I in my life coaching practice, I see people stymie themselves from this negative talk, and many times people aren't even aware that they are separate mm-hmm. from that talk. So I think we're going to get into that a little bit. I think it's a great topic to, really try to empower people to actually notice, to pay some attention to this talk, and we can, take steps to silence it and increase the pep talk too. Mm-hmm. So, Moni, how did you find this, or was there any reason? Because I know you've brought this topic up quite a bit about working with children, that we could help them a bit about learning, I guess, to recognize it and to. Would you want to say self-manage, or what would you kind of? What's your spin on it?
I mean, I think it's like self-perception and the feeling and the attachment that they have to like who they are to what they do. And so if mm-hmm. they do something that's, if they don't perform well in a test or in a game or whatever, they make a mistake, they spill their juice or whatever, I think they tend to label themselves based on what they are doing. And so that kind of is what starts that negative self-talk, like I'm so stupid or I'm, a terrible athlete or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's really important that they separate themselves from what they're doing, and who they are has nothing to do with it. And we brought this up so many times because it's kind of relevant in almost every topic. But that when you have that inner voice that's constantly talking to you like that, it will affect what actions you're going to take. And so therefore it's like that will sabotage you. Those negative thoughts will sabotage you from achieving your goals. And it's right. only your thoughts that would block you, because if you think you're stupid, for example, you might not try to go for that higher, math class or whatever it is. And even all the way to college and getting a job, it's like you're not going to strive because for your highest potential, because you think it's very low, because that's just what you've told yourself.
Okay,
so
yeah,
if you can change that, it can change your whole life.
Right. I see a lot of this where in adulthood where I see it surface quite a bit, and I even coach people on it, mm-hmm. especially if we're faced with new things or fear. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the self-doubt that is created from negative talk can I'm not crippling, but I do think, you know, when I coach people, I'm like, it's in there. It's going to come. It's going to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
How we deal with it, I think sometimes, and I think that's why we work on it, we like to get the kids younger, is to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
Become friends with it. You know, like there's negative talk,
yeah.
but if you can literally embrace that and understand it and
mm-hmm.
how you can, and we're going to go through some steps how to look at that, almost like it's an inner cue, like it's talking, like an awareness,
mm-hmm.
like here it comes, you know, that negative talk. Because I know,
mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of ways of looking at circumstances, like you said, where, you know, where people get really hard on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, they when they start the trash talk, I'm like, are you gonna join the trash talk? No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you do that to your best friend? You know, and
yeah.
I'm very big, very strong, and very big, and you'll hear me preach it a lot, that we really need to be our own best friends. That mentality, that
yep.
mindset, that, and in there, you know, stop yourself. Would my best friend talk like that? You know, would I talk to my best
mm-hmm.
friend like that?
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot to
exactly.
do with, you know, some of the so-called setbacks and failures that we have in life, where that talk kind of gets triggered. But how do we want to dive into this? I you know, definitely anyone out there, you know, there is talk. Let's start from basic 101. And I use Michael Singer's book
mm-hmm.
a lot, which is called The Untethered Soul. Yeah,
yep.
Which really gets you kind of in an awareness of listening to that talk, that there is talk in us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the again, you know, I can't do this, and I mean, there's so many self-doubts and self-talk, but what we want to try to do is, again, you have to sometimes try to muzzle that and then come in relation to that. And that's how I feel. I don't know, Money, what are you feeling from that? I mean, I know we both have, you know, great
yeah.
things to offer to the topic, so I want to make sure we both get our perspectives in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's okay, you know, yes, you have to have an awareness for when you have that thought. And one of the questions that I ask, you know, my clients when they say something, and they don't even know they're saying it because they're just programmed to think that whatever that is, I'm not, you know, I am not whatever, fill in the blank, I'm not confident, or I'm too old, or I'm not motivated, or I'm not, you know, whatever. And I say, how does it benefit you to have that thought? Like, how does that thought benefit you in any way? And they can't never think of a reason why it would help to have that. So that's kind of just the awareness of that first to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, how can you reframe that? If, you know, whatever it is. I mean, there might be some truth, but you can reframe it in a way that's not
harsh.
Negative. That's more productive. Yeah, exactly. And you're right. People do talk to, and that's another thing I would say is, if you know, we talk to ourselves way more harshly than we would ever talk to a friend. I mean, you would never say,
well,
oh, my gosh, you're so fat, or stupid.
Well, here's the thing, folks. You know, when you say words out to somebody, and they're, you know, when you throw the words out, my mother always said words are powerful tools. You know, you can't take them back once they're out there. They're an energy and they're a tool. It could go, you know, in our benefit, and then sometimes we need to be mindful of what we say. But when I'm talking to someone, if I say, you know, you're fat, okay, you're saying the words and you're projecting. Now, what if you say that about yourself? And I tell people, when you say that, it's just as important. You know, you're offending yourself
mm-hmm.
whether you realize that if you're conscious of it. Like, I think, like, we're very – sometimes the words – and words are very profound in how we think of ourselves, too. So, you know, they were talking in this article, which I thought was interesting, is this, like, let's just say you feel as if you're out of shape. You know, there's two ways of talking. You could say to yourself, oh, I'm a jiggling blob. You know, but someone said, you know, in another way, you could say, I need to work out more, which –
mm-hmm.
shows motivation. I mean, it's just the harshness of yourself. It's called NLP too. There's you know, the vibrations that we send out. But yeah, talk, negative talk to ourselves. You know, I think people again, it's like not being harsh, not looking at our self-worth and self-importance there. You know, it is
mm-hmm.
important that you talk to yourself properly. You know,
mm-hmm.
almost properly in a healthy manner. When we start talking unhealthy to ourselves, you know, you're picking up that unhealthiness. So, yeah, I think simply your language is very important. I mean, the actual words that come out. But I know there's inner talk too that stops us. But that just sometimes reframing, like you said, some of the language that we even use for ourselves. You know, would I say that to my best friend? I probably shouldn't say that about myself. You know?
And it's twofold. I mean, it is that, like, it will prevent you from taking action. Like, if you don't have a more productive way of saying whatever, or I'm too old now to, you know, start a new career, or whatever it is, or I'm not smart enough to do it, then you're not going to take the action. But the other, internally too, as you were saying, you know, it affects your health as well when you are, because it's negative energy. I mean, it's not helping you in any way to feel, to think those thoughts. So that's really, you know, you have to be aware of that too, that it's affecting you in several ways and not in a positive way.
Okay, exactly. So let's go through these steps. This Dunn actually listed 9 steps, which I really want to kind of dive into. And the first one, and I think we did a kind of an overview of what we're talking about. But, you know, they're saying, like, now, what some things that trigger us to go right to the, you know, I'm a jerk, you know, that we want to be mindful. We want to try to be conscious of better words. But let's look at the instances where that can trigger that negative talk. And, you know, if there's, for instance, you know, if things aren't going right, like if you had a meeting that, you know, you blundered, you know, instead of dwelling in it, visualize putting the negative stuff in a box. I love that. Instead of beating yourself up of tiny blunders that sometimes can trigger the talk and, light the fire of negativity, take a deep breath, try to not respond to the circumstance, not to beat yourself up. And then if you can, if you've done something, visualize dropping that blunder into the box for now. Seeing a tiny box in your mind shows the actual size of the problem and helps you feel more confident you can take it on. So, you know, in the big picture, you know, if you're at a meeting, you know, I've done it. Oh, why did I say that? I'm kicking myself. And, you know, instead of sitting there, staying in that state, picture a box, put it in the box, and then the big picture of everything, you know, I'm sure it'll pass. And that little comment among all of the things that you've done, you know, weigh it out a little bit. You know, it's kind of a coping skill. I don't know. What did you take from that? From the put in negative box there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's great because I think it's like put that thought away and I like how you then can reframe it. And what I always would ask again is, what did I learn from this, from this experience if I felt like I didn't do what I intended or, you know, I feel like I made a mistake in what I said or whatever it is. To say, okay, well, this is what I learned from it. So the next time I know I have to be prepared or I have to think for a few minutes before I say something or whatever, because you will have learned something from it. So it's not really a failure.
Excellent.
It's just reframing.
It's reframing. And, you know, put it in the box.
Yeah.
And this is what I do. Okay, look at it, say, okay, it didn't go quite the way I wanted it to. What can I learn from that? You know, I'm sure nobody else is thinking about it. I'm dwelling on it, but what can I take from it? Now we're going to move on to number 2. But ironically, our wonderful August just joined us on the air. Hi, August.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. August. Just in time for a topic that you and I have some background in. So August, just to catch up to speed, talking a little bit about negative self-talk and some ways to kind of quiet that talk. I'm echoing pretty good here. Number 2 is the power of possible thinking. I love this topic because I told you, Money, before we got on the air, I do a lot of this, and I never had coined it as, a name. You know, I've been trained in a Dream Builder program, which is, kind of this whole method here. And what it is you're a self-critic. A lot of people who are down and negative, they don't want to be told, oh, say something happy and positive, because I get that. Sometimes we're just not in that state. But a way to turn around things many times, and I see this ton, whether this is depression, this is in relationships, this is stuck in your job, this is you know, not being, you know, losing, not finding yourself. The way to kind of help a tool is to really think about possibilities. It is so profound. I know it goes over to kind of the right side of the brain, but it is, you know, when you're forced yourself to think of other avenues, and I actually did this too, Moni, in the meditation. They were talking about people coming in about stress and that. We're like, let's just think of what can go right. What possibilities, mm-hmm. what avenues can we open? Mm-hmm. Very profound in helping negative thoughts. Negative. What do you guys think of that?
Yes,
August,
it
do
is.
You want
to? Yeah, it's what I tend to do when I get in that place is try to think of something funny someone did, someone said, something from last week, last year, from a long time ago. It really doesn't matter. I find that laughter, or at least being able to smile about a pleasant thought, helps take the edge off, and it brings you a little bit closer to the place you want to be without, you know, it's, I read that article on the professor that put a glass of water on the table and asked the students how much it weighed. And the point was, it didn't matter how much it weighed. If you pick it up and hold it for a few minutes, it's no deal. If you pick it up and hold it for a day, your arm goes numb. If you pick it up and try to hold on to it for the rest of your life, it'll feel like it weighs 100 pounds and it'll dictate your life. It's not important how much it weighs. It's like, put the glass down. And one of the ways I found to do that is look for something funny, look for something that'll make me smile, look for something that'll make me feel good on the inside. It really doesn't matter what it is, but the power of humor, the power of laughter, the act of smiling, it really helps us come out of that place a little bit so we can be a little more objective and move on.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, I guess the thing is, you know, saying something that isn't, I love this part where they're like, you know, if you're down and you're like trying to force to be positive, it's almost like an inner lie detector coming in saying, this just does not match. But there's steps, like August, you could say, you know, if you try to find some pleasantries or some inspiration or what this power of possibility power thinking possibility is saying, thinking is saying, oh, I'm echoing again, guys, is that you're thinking of more choices for yourself. You know, instead of saying, you know, if you're not feeling well, and they put the example, I'm a fat cow. If you sit there in the fat cow state, that's where you're going to stay. You know, if I come over and say, you're not a fat cow, you're almost like, okay, that's not working. But really the power of possibility of thinking is like, okay, what are some possibilities here? You know, maybe I could try to eat better. Maybe I can start walking a little bit better so that you give yourself a direction that you can go in. You know, that's really important. I think, you know, very important, very important. So that helps the negative. That's actually a direct tool to try to pull you out of that negative state. I mean, if you're over there talking, you know, trashing yourself, okay, well, instead of sitting there trashing yourself and, you know, you really can't do the cheerleading of yourself, let's think of possibilities. You know, this is an opportunity. I'm aware that I'm not in a great state and my talk is up. What needs to be looked at here? What can I do? What are some possibilities? What are some ways of moving out of this?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think that's great because if you say, okay, I'm a fat cow, and you can't be like, I'm thin or whatever, because you might actually be overweight. But if you're saying, okay, I'm aware of it, I know what I need to do, and I'm making an effort to eat healthier or whatever, it's a baby step towards kind of getting away from it, because you can't take the whole, you're not in a right state to say something that's the opposite of what you just said.
Right.
I mean, I think that's how it works with affirmations too, because I like affirmations, but they have to feel authentic.
Yeah, they have to vibe.
You have to vibrate.
Or something you really want to be pulled into that direction. Yep, I agree with you. Okay, so the next thing she brings up, which I love this too, is how she coins it, is ask yourself if you're really so guilty. But where this comes in, this tool, is if, you know, you're over there kicking yourself, and I think we did a conversation on shame, but let's just say her mm-hmm. instance is like you shout out something like, I don't know, you feel like is idiotic at a business meeting. Okay. I mean, we've all done it. I'm like, why did I say that? But, you know, and you have that, you know, the talk starting to come in, you know, why did I do that? But to slow that talk down, ask some follow-up questions, they say to yourself. Like, really, do you think, you know, after that meeting, do you think Bobby's home really at dinner time thinking about it? Or, you know, or do you really think you've, like, you know, changed the course of the world by, you know, blundering? The more you, they say, the more you dive into that, the more choices you give, the more you look at what, you'll come to a place of silencing the negative talk and actually realizing, you know, we're human, and we make blunders, and it's probably not the end of the world. You know, they say question your initial thoughts, because the first, and I've done it, and Alex, I think I've shared this incident. I was working with, you know, coaching, and I kind of was getting agitated a little bit with the way things were going, and I was going to follow through on that, but the more I thought about it, I didn't react, and I pulled something more meaningful out of it. It was like a ability to maybe say, hey, I could be, you know, work better with this person. So, yeah, I mean, you can dive into the negative talk and stay like, oh, why, but if you really kind of slow that down, you know, take some deep breaths, you know, we are meditation instructors, right? We, you know, there is a tool, an inner tool that we can all just to pause a little bit, pause, you know, don't let it, you know, it's like a runaway car. You don't want to keep pushing it down the street. You know, let it naturally slow down. You know, let it. If you take your foot off the gas, it will slow down eventually and come to a stop. But you keep putting that gas, that thing's going to fly down the street. So, you know, if you get there, yeah. So just remember that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think with the shame, because like with Brene Brown's, when we talked about shame, it's like when you tell a trusted friend, I feel like that kind of always helps, because when you kind of say out loud, like, oh my God, you know, I said this really embarrassing thing in this business meeting and I'm feeling so awful, and you can tell somebody who you trust, and when you say it out loud and they kind of help, it sort of makes it less of a terrible thing than it is if you keep rehashing it in your head and making
right.
it to be much worse than it is, and help, you know, even a friend can help you say, okay, yeah, that might have been a little embarrassing, but here's, you know, maybe the people aren't thinking about it and they have their own stuff to do, or like this article says they were, you know, they could be on their phones. They weren't really listening.
They're
know,
probably
so,
not paying attention, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what, guys, I always say, you know, I've gone, God bless my husband. Like, I used to go to some of his meetings. I didn't want to embarrass him, you know. Like, we go out to dinner. The funny thing is, it, you know, like August. Eventually, someday, you can laugh about these things. Or they, you know, if you blundered, you got through it. You know, have some.
Mm-hmm.
You had some courage to get through
yeah.
it. You know, we've all done it. Just be easy on yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you can find humor in it too. I mean, you can laugh at yourself and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And it, again, it gets you out of the shame, because if you keep it in and you're really embarrassed and you're even too embarrassed to tell anyone, it just makes it a lot worse. It kind of grows, like you said,
John. It does
Shauna.
Grow and intensifies.
I always say a good tool, just own it.
Yeah,
I always say,
I agree. Own it, man.
Yeah, that's one of mine. I'm like, you know what? It's better to own it. And I, you know, I remember if I'll fall, instead of getting up, like, oh, I'll look and laugh at myself. I own it. You know, we're human beings, people. We make mistakes.
Yeah.
We're put on this earth.
Exactly.
We are put on this earth to make mistakes, believe it or not. I mean, we are.
Yeah.
That's how we learn.
That's how we learn.
Yeah.
And I think all of us can have compassion, you know, because we've all done it. So if somebody does do that, you're like, oh, like, I know I've done something like that too.
And then we just did number 4, put a better spin on things, you know, put a better spin on things.
Yeah.
You know, and I always say, you know, if you blunder and you got somebody over there making fun of you, you just learn something. They're probably not the type of person you want to, you know.
Yeah.
You're looking at their character content, you know, so we help each other, you know. Like, so, yeah, there's all ways of, you know, looking at scenarios. So we're going to go real quick, believe it or not. We're running out of time, and I really want to try to hit the ninth.
Okay.
The fifth one I already brought up, and this is my mantra,
yep.
And if anyone who knows me, when all else fails, ask this question: what would my best friend say? What would my very, very best friend, who has my heart on a, you know, in a safe box, that, you know, and what would they say to me because of the circumstance? How would they treat me? You know, I tell people with the self-worth and the self-care, I'm like, you have to look. It's for some reason, because we've been trained, I think, so much to look outside ourselves. I use that tool to have people look, you know,
have
to have your best friend there,
have your best friend
so they
there.
Can treat
so
you how you're going to
treat
yourself.
How you're
going to
treat yourself and work.
Okay, guys,
you
want to add anything to that?
I'm
echoing again.
No, I think that's
no.
I think you covered it.
I think that's really, really good, because friends are there for us.
Yep. Yeah. Number six, very important. And I do this in depression and in anxiety, but now we're talking about our inner critic. Even, you know, people are going through things in their life. It's important to give it a name. Somebody's echoing, guys. We're going to give your inner critic, your negative talk, a name. Okay, so you can identify with it. I have, you know, a big one that I use when people are kind of teenagers and that, and they're going through stuff. We call it a funk. You know, it's a funk. Let's talk about the funk. You got a negative talk? Like I said, it's trash talk, actually. You know, you're trash talking yourself. Here comes the trash talk. Name it, name it, name it.
Yeah.
Anyone? Anything else to add to that?
No, I think that's... No, I think that's...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They actually put a spin that they prefer to put a silly name on it. So they were saying, like, it's hard to take that inner name seriously when you call it the nag. That's actually a good. Yeah. Something to perk your awareness.
Perk your awareness.
I call mine the Bobo.
The what?
Call him the Bobo.
What do you call it? The what?
Bobo.
I can't hear you. Bobo? Okay.
Bobo.
Good.
Yeah,
you have the name for it.
Silly. Yeah, it's just a silly name, but it takes the seriousness off it.
Yeah. And they say, you know, give not only your inner critic a name, you know, if you rant, you know, give that a name. My husband and I, believe it or not, when we would, like, get a little, I don't know, you know, in our funk. We used to call it the cyclone. You know, here it comes. So at least we know it's coming. You know, so if you're a rant, you know, if you start ranting, you know, name it, so you can identify it. Now, the last one, we're going to wrap up the show, and I love this, and this is very important. It's to embrace your imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
We are all unique, whether it's strong qualities or our quirks, but that's. You know, who we are. So embrace the imperfections, you know. Don't let them become destructive. Like I said, own it, you know. I always tell people, I'm quirky with sleep. You don't give me sleep, I'm, like, not nice. So, you know, I have my strong points, but then there's other points in me that I know, you know, I'll hire it out. guys have anything to add to that?
No,
makes us who we are. I think, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the whole owning it thing that you said, you know. It is part of who we are. Nobody's perfect, and we all make mistakes, and we all are, you know, have things to improve about ourselves. That's why we're here.
Yeah, and the big thing, too, about failures and setbacks, and they even said some of the most, you know, they interviewed CEOs, and I believe in this, that they've been successful in their own eyes because they had a willingness to screw up and move on.
True, very true.
Failure is feedback to keep trying new things. So, you know, jump on that bandwagon, you know, own it again. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, guys, we're wrapping it up. Thank you for joining. Great conversation. So thank you. The power's from within, and we will be talking in 2 weeks. Thanks, guys.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And lastly, you can find us all at Western New York Life Coaching Center, which is wnylifecoaching.com, and our number there is 716 560-6552.
Thanks.
All right,
bye.
Bye.